Hello and welcome to Profiles in Risk. This is your stuffed nose host, Tony Kindness, who has a cold today. And today we have with us Vamsi Venturdi, and I did not ask you how to pronounce the name, which I really should have.
You did well, yeah.
Awesome, awesome. So Vamsi, PNC insurance digital strategist. And you've had a really interesting career. So again, today we're recording one of my favorite types of episodes, a career episode, but a very different one, because very often the career episodes are very traditional insurance, like started in claims, went to underwriting, grew into an underwriting director, and is now leading sales somewhere. You started on the IT side, and you started on the IT side back in India.
That's
And
right.
then X number of years later, you're having this awesome career here in the States and much closer to the business side
That's right.
than a pure IT career. So I'd love to hear that story. So let's start with okay. So in India, you major in engineering. How did you end up finding yourself doing work for insurance?
Thank you, Tony. First off, thank you for this opportunity. It's always great to interact with someone like you, and I do appreciate the kind of people you bring into your show and a focus on careers, right? So it's truly fascinating. A lot of folks do follow your show very closely, and we appreciate the time. Now, back to my career, Tony. It's you're right. It's interesting in terms that I started off as an offshore software engineer way back in 2000. Right, like most of us in the insurance industry, I discovered insurance. Right, it did not happen by way of my education. I started off as a developer for developing applications for a claims call center in offshore in Hyderabad way back in early 2000s. I was at Deloitte at that time, so I was building custom software for a call center, and that too for a healthcare claims call center and a BPO. And that was amazing and interesting because I did not realize what claims were about, didn't understand that business process. I was just doing my reporting, my analytics, and the custom code for that software. So then I understood the power of actually platforms and how they can transform a business process, help customers, and all of that was a revelation for me. And till that point, I was just focused on my own code and my own piece of software, right? And then Deloitte exposed me to the world of consulting and opportunities that are there in this space. And then it's before too long, it was, remember, it was with the Y2K period, the dot-com period, where there's so much of web technologies proliferating, so many carriers looking to join that wave of technology transformation from paper-based processes to web-based technologies, right? I was in that phase. I saw that journey, and it really fascinated me, that leap from green screens to paper-based technologies to actual web technologies. Really fascinated me, and I joined that wave, if you would call that wave, as a software engineer consultant, and ended up starting to test one of the leading softwares at that time, which is again in the insurance space, and that too in PNC insurance space, Guidewire. So I was with Capgemini at that time. I made the transition from Deloitte, and then it was an amazing experience to experience what a really advanced enterprise level software can do and business process in PNC insurance. And again, in claims, I should mention that. So, a lot of parallels to what you started off with your career as well. That's how my journey began. About 5 years offshore as a software engineer, then consultant for testing Guidewire claim center offshore for PNC carriers, right? I started off with ASI way back at the time, testing Guidewire's version 4.0 claim center software. So it fascinated me, and that's how my journey began, really, in the insurance industry. I did FNOL testing during that period.
So the time at Deloitte, so we're back to 2000, right? One thing that I think as a non-technical guy, I've never understood. So when a carrier is bringing in Guidewire, Duck Creek, whatever, it's not you buy it at Office Max. a DVD or a CD into your system, install it, and hope for the best. You're the consulting firm to implement. What is that work like? Is it a lot of understanding local, understanding existing processes, and then helping fit them into the system, or what does that work like?
Yeah, great question, Tony. And this is the classic Chinese whisper at play here, right? On what you think is what is the requirement of the technology that you're trying to build for a process you are so widely disconnected from, right? You have no clue of what a PNC insurance claim is sitting back in India in early 2000, right? So it was a lot of the overlap between offshore onset hours. That's the discovery again for me as I was evolving as a consultant. How do you blur the lines, work as one team with on-site? At that on-site was like 10,000 miles away, right? Work with customers and business analysts and subject matter experts telling you requirements to build a software, right? So it was not like, an off-the-shelf software at that time. It was custom built, right? So we had to take requirements in and we translate the requirements into software and then we relay it back. And there's a lot of back and forth in that process, very painful process. And we're talking prior to leading enterprise software solutions, right? We are talking, custom software solutions. So it was painstaking, very manual intensive process and a lot of handholding, talking to customers with an overlap time zones, working through 10 p.m. the night, India times. So it was a struggle. And it was all, as I said, custom technologies, you would say, tailor-made to a specific insurance or a carrier and not standard process across all carriers. So it was different way we developed and built software to the evolving that nature of the Guidewire, Duck Creek's, Majesco that we know today. It's so vastly different. So we're actually building those blocks to see what you see today. So it was that phase I was involved in when I was at Deloitte, especially.
Okay, so you go to Capgemini, which. I don't know what percentage of what Capgemini does is insurance, but they're definitely super active in the insurance space. Okay. And you spend 14 and a half years there and have one, two, three, four promotions in that time. And it looks like three or four promotions in that time.
Yeah.
So I'm very curious on the coming to the States. How did that opportunity come about and what was it like?
Yeah.
And I'm very curious, how did you manage all those promotions? But what advice do you have for people on that side of the industry on how to grow within a company of that type?
Great question, Tony. And I would also go back to the times I was in at the time, right? I'm talking about 2010 through 2020. We are just off the financial crisis. There's a lot going on in the world. Right? It is not an easy time to be in business for insurance companies too, for that matter, right? AIG was tanked at that point. So for me, at the time, I made the transition as an immigrant, I traveled to the US at that time with an infant with me, right? And I landed at a project at AIG, working for Capgemini as an on-site consultant, right? Within a month, the project got shut down. So I was faced with going back to India. I had nothing back in India. I closed my shop. I said, okay, I'm going to be in the US for some time. And that was an interesting, unique challenge that I had at that time. So adversity brings the best in us, like many people say, right? So I was open to change. I was about to go back, but then I saw an opportunity show up at Farmers Insurance at the time, right? They were undertaking a major claims transformation program and they gained in claims, right? So
so let me pause you right there.
Yes.
Things might have been differently back in that day.
Right.
But I've been in insurance from 2009 to today. So actually, there are hardly two more different companies in insurance than AIG and Farmers.
Mm-hmm.
Right? We're talking the East Coast-based, publicly traded, very, 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 very cutthroat is a way to put it, very competitive. Like a year at AIG is like 7 years elsewhere, is what I've heard in the dog years. Very, very heavy commercial line, worldwide business. And then we have Southern California based, mostly personal lines, exclusive agency partners. So radically different company. So that transition, I'm very interested. Like to me, the fact that you're working at the same company, and you go from one project with AIG to one with Farmers is so radically different. So what was that like?
Yeah, it was you're bang on, Tony. That was as I said earlier, right? It was a time when carriers had to get onto the web. AIG was building a direct to customer application at the time, right? They acquired 21CE during that period. 21CE Insurance, a personal lines carrier based out of California, Woodland Hills. So I was brought in as a business analyst to help them build any signature solution, right, and a direct to customer solution on the policy side, policy self-service side. Then all of that stopped because it ran out of funding for the program. And then suddenly the Farmers is embarking on a major transformation because they were on a different legacy technology. They wanted to upgrade. So for me, it is not just moving from a different set of culturally or a different type of business carrier to Farmers, but also from policy back to claims again. So there's a lot of transitions in the journey that I had to open to, and I had no choice, honestly. I was faced to go back. So I was very resistant to going to a culture which is unknown to me because I spent some time with AIG and 21C back in India before I made the move to India, to US. So it was difficult. I embraced the challenge, right? I started off as a business analyst, became a functional lead on the claims side, managing teams. Then I said, okay, now that I have known the application, let me now test it out. I became the UAT test lead for the program, part of the program. And then I started to lead projects and core systems and policy in claims again. Then project manager, program director. So these four evolutions you see in my career are also at the same time travelers were evolving. They were also growing. They were also integrating other players in the entire value chain. Right. So I grew with them, embraced the change and the challenge of cultures, right? And the roles and also the businesses, right? Like I mentioned, from commercial lines to personal lines to specialty lines to you name it. I've seen that period of 2010 to 2020 where carriers were trying to grow, integrate, and expand and embrace technologies and latest platforms. So as part of that evolution, technology evolution, and also the macro trends as well. Right. So as part of that, embrace the change during their journey. And I was able to influence definitely some transitions and some innovations in industry during that period.
How did you, so each time you transitioned, how did you learn the new business? So right, policy to claims. So you landing in claims that now at an exclusive agency. How do you quickly educate yourself on the new business that
Yeah, Tony, this is also a shift in philosophy, Tony, I've noticed during my 25-year career, right? Before, IT used to be working on its own in a silo. Business is on a different path. There were walls strict between business and IT, right? And then things used to get thrown over the wall, right? Things evolved over a period of time. Like I said, between 2000 to 2020, the way we used to do projects from waterfall, like they say, right?
to Adele.
To more agile, right? So everybody had to embrace that shift in mind and how software is built and collaborations needed to happen to make that project a reality. So there was no option but to partner with our business, right? And then be courageous about it. Build that partnerships, reach out to that claims adjuster, right? Reach out to that actual person on the front lines who's in the call center and seek that voice of customer. And you had to kind of approach them with that a beginner's mindset. That's what I tried to do, right? Be fearless, ask the questions, ask the why. That's a challenging part, and why you need this, right? Why we need to build a different way versus building it. This works for 100 carriers. Why doesn't it work for you? So that was the mindset I had to work with business and understand the business. Because remember, I had no clue sitting in offshore about businesses, how they're run, right? How would I know what a non-standard auto is versus a standard auto? What's an excess and surplus versus a standard? I had no clue. So all this had to happen organically, collaborate with business as a partner. Break down that walls. One team was the mantra, Right? That's how I really progress through all these careers and transitions. There's no other way to do it. It is one
Okay.
team.
So 14 years and a half at Capgemini. And then you go to Senstar. Senstar I'm not familiar with. So tell me about that. And by the way, with Capgemini, you moved to Chicago. And now with Senstar, you moved to Atlanta, Georgia.
That's
So
right.
now you've been in California, Chicago,
Yep.
Atlanta, literally like all the three corners, so to speak, of the country, basically. I know Chicago's not a corner, but like West Coast, Midwest, South.
Yep. I'll
So what brought you to Sensor, and what did you do over there?
Yeah, thank you. And it's the life, right, of consultant during that period when I was mentioning 2010, 2020, where I had projects all over the country traveling around. And a base was still either LA or Chicago, and for a part in Chicago. Then after a point, then I had to make a choice. A choice was between a wife. She said, okay, choose me or your forever roving career from A to B to C. And we had at that time our second boy, right? We had two children and it was getting tough for us to manage the show. So we decided to place an anchor. And then I was commuting in LA and Atlanta weekly for another program for AXA XL at the time. It was a full suite implementation, policy claims billing. So I had to be involved. It was like every week, Monday to Thursday travel, week after week. So it became unsustainable and it made sense to move bag and baggage from Chicago to LA to again back to Atlanta, right? So what I meant to say is a lot of us in our careers as consultants, right, we undergo this Monday, we did during the time. There was a Monday to Thursday rigorous travel. And then we had to make these tough calls to leave the family behind and then do these projects. But yeah, thankfully, I don't know if that worked for everybody, but definitely having a place like Atlanta with an airport always helped. And that's the another important factor for me to be at a place where I could commute easily and then go to our
Yes,
customers.
this is a good place to insert a quick ad for our hometown.
Right.
People, if you want good weather, decent cost of living for a large city, and the best airplane in the U.S. with direct flights anywhere, commit to Delta and move to Atlanta. Your life will improve radically if you have a good amount of travel. That's exactly why we're in Atlanta.
Yeah.
All right, so the sensor was no longer a like on the road all the time consulting.
Right.
Okay.
I wanted to also, Gensar gave an opportunity to work remotely. And it is an interesting transition for me as well. As I said, this third part of my career where I actually grew to leader. The first part, as I said, was discovery. Second part was more so about expansion and then growing as a leader, as an industry practitioner and as consultant. And third part is about actually experiencing the growth of a leader, understanding strategic vision. So I chose to join Zensar at the time to experience leadership from a different lens, right? As a delivery head for a decent sized organization, about 400 people organization, PNC insurance experts delivering on different technologies, Guidewire being one of them. So it was a great opportunity at the same time a challenge, because it was also during the pandemic. So it was an interesting dynamic because they acquired a PNC specialist and I was brought in as delivery head for that company. And it was an interesting and difficult phase, but I embraced it. It was a challenging situation to be in, to remotely manage a team which is newly acquired, 20 odd customers who all I have not met, right? So it presented a phenomenal opportunity to know tier two, tier three carrier space. That's where I traveled the Grinnells of the world and the bureaus of farm bureaus and other carriers like insurers of last resort. I got exposure to rural America. I saw a lot of carriers in that space, and Gensar gave me that opportunity to meet those carriers, understand those businesses, right? So I definitely appreciate that opportunity to explore the unexplored territory of probably the big five consulting companies, not necessarily able to go to those places, right? But yeah, it was a great experience being at Zensar as a delivery practice head.
Fantastic. And then 2021, you go to Salesforce, which looks like a weird move, because until I chatted with you recently, offline, in my mind, Salesforce is the largest CRM, right? And yeah, widely used with an insurance, if you're a large enough organization. What a CRM. So it seems like a weird move to go to something that's specialized. But you did a great job educating me when we chatted about all the stuff that Salesforce does for insurance or potentially can do.
That's right.
So yeah, what led you make the move to Salesforce, and what were you doing there?
Yeah. Tony, again, this goes back to the theme. It's always easy to connect the dots as we look back, right? As I say. So for me, as I said, it was an evolution in not only technology and also in my career, where I was able to go from backend systems to core systems to actually the systems which are used to engage with customers, the front-end systems, right? And that's where the customer interactions and the customer magic happens. And I always saw Salesforce as a great opportunity because the leader in the space, not only as a CRM, but as a platform and the ecosystem and a true SaaS trailblazer, right? It's one of the first, biggest, and largest SaaS company that a lot of other companies copied in terms of business model and reach, right? So insurance companies today, a lot of them, most of them do have Salesforce. And they do it in different ways and different use cases for Salesforce. But as a platform, I saw the potential that it could be there right from distribution onwards to risk selection to risk pricing all the way downstream. Insights-wise, there are numerous solutions in the platform that can help a customer, that can help an insurance carrier, for brokers for that matter, right? So that's the opportunity I saw, not just in the middle office space of the core systems, but ability to touch customers. And wherever they are, whatever channel they choose to be, right? In terms of service, in terms of sales, all those touch points do happen through Salesforce. And that I thought was powerful because, as you know, today insurance is expected to be personal. People expect tailored experiences. And that's the potential I saw. And that's the capabilities of the platform that I'm in right now. I think it'll be of great value to carriers and brokers. That's why I made the switch. And I'm glad I made the switch. It also gave me a lens as a leader to grow, to see a strategic view of things and why you do things and the value of doing things of this nature, digitally transformation, transforming customers and the process, right? That's the opportunity I see today as a digital strategist at Salesforce.
Okay, so you spent 2.5 years
Yep.
at Salesforce in that insurance vertical strategy and advisory, working with a ton of different carriers.
Yep.
What's next? What do you want to do in the second half?
Right. Tony, that's a great question. And I'm pondering all this question in terms of there's a lot more to learn. As I said, Salesforce is a huge ecosystem and there is innovation always happening. The third part of the journey that gets exciting, right? We are in the middle of really true innovation and disruption in the industry again, third time over. Right, starting from the web technologies through expansion through core systems and advanced systems. So now we are in the middle of the AI revolution, right? And we're looking at how carriers need to again transform themselves, right? Reinvent themselves, right? To kind of compete or competition with the insurtechs and the innovation, right? So I'm looking to kind of partner with this ecosystem now, right? You cannot operate on your own in a siloed fashion. You work with partners, even if you're a large carrier. You have a lot of innovation-oriented companies to work with. So I'm looking to be like an advisor, a Salesforce advisor, right? And helping progress transformation, right? As an advisor, or potentially down the road, work with the carrier directly, right? To use my experiences, like I said, in how to harness technology. Then AI, ML will become like everyday norm, right? We talk about NLP technologies, computer vision. These all will become part of workflows much more than it is today. We talk about them today, and I'm sure it's happening, but it'll be like much more prevalent. And I think platforms like Salesforce and experience with those kinds of platforms will really help. So someone with my kind of experience, I'm hoping will create that kind of impact for carriers to embrace these technologies to help customers, get those experiences they expect of their carriers. right? Gone are the days where you're just resolving a claim, right? You want advice, you want prevention, you want prediction, right? In whatever you do. And that's where I want me to go and help and be part of that change, the transformation.
Okay, so you're ready to join the client, basically.
Yeah, just definitely, yes. There's definitely one on the cards down the road, if not right now. But I just see myself evolving from a tester to BA. I see opportunities for people like me who can dream of a career, something like this, Tony. There is this industry is phenomenal in terms of opportunity that is there. There's a lot of change happening. People who have the knack to challenge problems, solve problems, adopt technology, the open attitude to embrace change. There's phenomenal opportunity in this industry, right? I don't need to say that insurance has been a laggard, but I think industry is catching up. There's a lot happening in this space. It's an exciting time to be in the industry. And I'm a big advocate for people who have started like me or who are in my role, maybe right now, 10 years ago, when I was 15 years ago, to aspire to be in that role, to be part of this technology, part of this conversation, help really making this leap into the AI era, so to say.
Very, very exciting. Very, very exciting stuff. Benzi, yeah, thank you. Super interesting. Having been in the trenches of modernizing insurance technology from green screens to the beginning of the AI era.
Yep.
Thank you for that perspective. Super, super interesting. When this goes live, I'll tag you at the show. I'll tag you on LinkedIn in the show notes. If anybody wants to have a deeper conversation, go ahead and reach out on LinkedIn. Thank you so much for your time today.
Awesome, Tony. I really enjoyed this conversation. Thank you very much once again.
Thank you.